I believe we had jaunted all the way to 13-4. Man, we are tearing through. This is epic pace. Good thing I don't get paid by the verse. That would solve the building problem. Okay, where are we at? Love is patient, love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13:4. It is not jealous, does not brag, and is not arrogant. And if you look back in your life and you see yourself being or not being these things, you could surely tell how much love is in your life, which will tell you how much God is in your life. It is the most, that's the point he's making, honestly, is that the truest way to tell how spiritual you are and how close you are to God and how strong your walk is this. Looking at this definition and seeing how much it applies to your life. We want it to be so many other things because other things are easier. Giving money, doing works. But honestly, it's all this. It's all what is inside that flows out. Being patient is... It is easier to be patient with somebody you deeply love than it is with somebody you don't. Point is, you're supposed to love everybody. So if you are patient with one person and you're not patient with another, what it's telling you is you don't love that person as much as you love that person. And it's the truth. Now, there are some people that will wear and test patience. And even then, patience doesn't fail because love doesn't fail. But there is a point where love will do what's best. And patience doesn't mean being a doormat all the time. And it doesn't mean allowing people to do wrong things or what the word we usually use is enabling. Patience doesn't mean enabling a bad thing. You know, that's associated so often with drug addiction. And I watch parents, you know, struggle with this so many times that, my kid's stealing our stuff and selling it. Well, do you want me to arrest them? No, I don't. I just come up for advice. Well, come back up when you want me to arrest them, because it's going to happen. And your patience will wear thin. And my advice is always deal with it wisely now before you get angry. While you still have patience, and of course, being a parent myself, I know that I'm asking them to do something that they really can't do right now. You know, they want so desperately to help, and what they're doing isn't helping, but it's all they know how to do, you know. And it says, love is kind. Kindness is a beautiful thing. It's always that choice we make, but how we're going to respond to someone, how we're going to deal with someone. And kindness usually has to do with their benefit, not yours. What's best for them is the best way to look at kindness. Am I doing what's best for them? Or am I doing or saying what's best for me? It is not jealous. That's a tough one. Especially because God says clearly, I am a jealous God. So, if God is love and love is not jealous, how can he be a jealous God? Jealous over what? Over our activities. Now, I may have said this a long time ago and it's been a while, but we ought to be very... When we hear the word jealous, it scares us because we know what we are like when we are jealous. We do stupid things. There was just on the news the other night, some woman lured a woman to the to her house and killed her and then killed herself because she was dating her husband or something like that. You know, and that's just what this is. And we could also see God's reaction, and God always says straight up when he is. You know, there's never any hidden part about this. Like, here's the difference. God's jealousy is based on a couple of things. Number one, absolute truth. He knows everything. He can do everything. And he knows what's going on and why it's going on. And his emotional responses are always based on truth. Ours are not. Ours are based on our insecurities. God has no insecurity. So him being jealous results in something different than us being jealous. It's like a different type of jealousy is the best way to put it. What he says is, it bothers me if you don't love me. You know, I pour all this out to you, and when you go worship somebody else or turn your attention to another thing, it's very hard for me, and it bothers me. It is not the exact same thing. He always gives a warning. He always lets you know he is, and he always tells you what he will do if you do not change your way. And that is not what we do. So I want you to think of this as human jealousy. If my wife were to start dating someone else, I would be jealous, and that would not be wrong. Jealous over things you should not be jealous of. if somebody were to get a position that I wanted in the church, if they were to get a church that I wanted to have, like, because we were just talking about appointments, and the fact that they got it bothered me, and to the point where it made me resent them, then I would have a problem. Then I would not be acting out of love. What is best for them? And I should be happy that they got something good. God will take care of me. My job is to love. Now, that's not saying the same thing. I should be happy if my wife starts dating someone else, should I? That jealousy is correct. It is where it should be. And what I'm saying is, God's is always correct. It is always right. It is always based on fact, not what my mind makes up. And it's not based on insecurities. Like, if somebody were to get a position I wanted, then I would say, well, it's because, you know, I really wanted that. And I would feel insecure. And I'd start saying, well, it's because they were political. Or it's because, you start that whole ugly. And then you try to find people who would agree with you. And you get together and you talk about it. And it's like this feeding frenzy of piranhas, you know. That is the type of jealousy we're talking about here. Unwarranted, unmerited. You know, if there is a covenant between two people, as there was between God and his people, and the covenant is broken, jealousy is the best thing that could happen. Wrath is the worst thing that could happen. So I just want you to be sure that there is an understanding of God's jealousy. I'm just trying to throw it in because we're talking about emotion. Love is not so much an emotion, but jealousy is a little bit more so, I believe, but it is based on God's part. It's a factual, it's a response to the facts. Whereas that's not what he's talking about here. This is talking about anything that's not patient and kind. And it says, well, then it goes into the exact opposite of love. The opposite of love is not hate, by the way. The opposite of love is pride. Love is something you have for somebody else or something else. Love is something that goes from you to someone else. It's why people were created. God wanted to love. And pride is nothing but love turned inward. It doesn't go out. It stays on me. And we all have, you know, we all have that battle. Your flesh truly believes that the only place your love should go is you. And your spirit truly believes the only place it should go is out. So there's that war going on in all of us. And I think most of us know it. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant, because it doesn't need to. Love is going out. It wants, because it's patient, kind, and not jealous. You brag when you're jealous. You brag when you're not trying to be kind. When you're insecure. And the word insecure is really big in all of our lives. You know, what I think I'm not good enough for, or how I think other people view me. I will do these amazingly hideous things to correct it, that only make it worse. You know, there is nothing that will make a person seem more insecure than a person acting insecure. And you just, you sort of start to pity them. You know what I mean? And what they want is to not be pitied, but it's something we really can't help. The most important thing you need to know about fellowship, love is patient, love is kind. If you know nothing else, I don't care what else there is in a church. I don't care what abilities there are. I don't care what gifts God has spread through the church. If the people are patient and the people are kind, the church will work. I don't care who's up front. I don't care, you know, any of those things. How you worship, That's what has to be there. Because the purpose of worship and the purpose of a pastor giving a message is so that these things will happen. Ultimately, the ultimate result of everything we do should be this: patience and kindness. Because if we are patient and kind, God could use you for anything. If you are patient and kind, there is nothing God can't use you for. Whatever you do, whatever you say, if it's not patient and it's not kind, then it's not love and it's not from God, and nothing else you do in church really matters. Patient. Bearing pains or trials calmly without complaint. Without complaint. Bearing them. Another one is manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. And patience is all these things. Usually I find the one that matches the first. They all match. Not hasty, steadfast, despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. In other words, when you know you're right and somebody's trying to convince you not to do it, you just steadfast, and you just, that's another type of patience that matters. Able, and this is the one that says it the best, but they're all true, able or willing to bear. Now, if you'll permit me, I would like you to think about turning it inward. There is a part of patience that you have to have for yourself. Satan tries to destroy that. You should have the exact same patience for yourself that God has for you. You should understand that, that God is patient. He is willing to bear. He is steadfast. He's not hasty. He bears with pains or calmly without complaint. He knows. And you should have the exact same patience with, not so much yourself, I guess the right way to say it is God's plan for you, how God is working in your life. Because the thing I deal with the most is when I see myself falling somewhere where I thought I had, it was gone. I thought this was over. I thought I wouldn't have to deal with this again. And then you get this immense frustration that can sort of ruin a certain time period of your life. It could take your joy away. And you have to realize that God is patient with you. Be as patient with yourself as God is. And I'm not saying ever justify your own sin. I'm not saying be comfortable with sin. I'm saying be comfortable with God's plan for you. And because honestly, you can't change yourself. He is sanctifying you. He is doing it through His Word. He is doing it through His Spirit. That's what Scripture tells you. Scripture tells you He sanctifies. What did Christ say? Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. God, Jesus didn't say help them sanctify themselves. He said, God, sanctify them with your word, with truth. And that takes a while because you have to, one, learn the truth, and then you have to see it in comparison to lies. You have to learn it. And learning takes time. And it can be extremely frustrating. And I would think, I would like to say that most of my frustration and my lack of patience is with myself more so than it is with other people at this point. Because once you accept it about yourself that I'm pretty much an nincompoop and I am not capable of good things without God, then you start to lighten up on other people a little bit too. But the residual effect has always been for me, you know, just an absolute frustration with myself. Like, oh, come on, man. You know, I thought, and I don't know if it's good to be there because it knocks down pride a bit or what it is, but it just seems so frustrating. And I don't appear to be patient with God's plan for my life, with how he's doing His job. You know what I mean? Okay. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Now, that's a beautiful, always keep that one in mind. And you always have to relate it back to God covering your transgressions. There is no transgression you could have possibly committed, that you could even imagine committing, that you've ever heard of anybody committing, that cannot be covered by the love of God. You know, once it's repented from, once God, you're toned to God with faith, you know, it's gone. It's covered. Because it's not about quantity or quality. It's about the power of the coverage. It's not about the sin. It's about the power of the coverage of the blood of Christ. What you're saying is, if you can't accept that, if you can't accept that love covers all sin, then you're saying what you did, Jesus, wasn't good enough. It wasn't strong enough. What I can do wrong is greater than what you did right. And wow, you know, what an insult after he come and did all that to say, no, it's not good enough. Well, you know, think it through. And you also have to turn this around. And once you've applied it to yourself, apply it to other people. Love covers all transgressions. There are some things that are very hard to let go of when somebody hurts you really bad. It is very hard to let go of it. It can cut deep. And you don't have an option, is the best way to put this. You know, you will be judged as you judge. You know, by the scales you use is the scales I will use, God says. And that's the hammer part of it. You know, the carrot part is basically, come on, man. I did it for you. And you're going to feel so much better after you let this go. After you let love cover that over. Because you've seen it happen. You know what it's done for you. My love's covered your sins. Let your love cover their sins towards you. I mean, I can't cover somebody's sins. If Kyle sins against you, I can't cover Kyle's sin for you. But you can. You know, there's that beautiful little thing. What you forgive on earth will be forgiven in heaven. Wow. Is that powerful? And that's part of being made in the image of God. He's letting you do some of what he does. And that doesn't mean if you don't, it won't eventually if they repent. I mean, you can't stop somebody else from being forgiven. You can't. But you can surely open up forgiveness for them. You know, and nothing makes God happier that makes him grin ear to ear than you forgiving somebody. Why? Just because you love them. Not because they deserve it, not because they repented or anything. Just, Lord, you know, I've told you guys many times, one of the last things my mother prayed was, Lord, if anybody's ever done anything to me, don't hold it against them. Right before she died, you know, just let it go. It's as if it never happened. You know, she didn't want anybody to stand before the Lord and face something because of something they did to her. And I know God smiled ear to ear and welcomed her home because she became like Christ, because that's what Jesus Christ did. That is what becoming like Christ is, actually doing that. And she meant it as much as it could be meant. And I've never been prouder of my mother than that. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So there is the admonish, encourage, you know, deal with it, but be patient. With who? Everyone. No exceptions. See to it that no one repays another with evil for evil. Why? Because you forgive them and you've covered the transgression with love. But always seek after that which is good for another and for all people. That is kindness. Was that not the definition I gave you for kindness? Wanting something good for somebody else. And so what he's saying is, be patient, be kind. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, he says the same thing without using the titles, but there he writes it out. Genesis 29:20, patience comes with love. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Now, romantic love gives us a wonderful, beautiful view of how it should be for all of us towards everyone, that sort of patience. 7 years he worked, and then he was told, well, you need to work another 7 years. And he did it. Because that's how much he loved her. And, you know, it's worth it. And I guess that's what we have to come to the point of is you're worth it. You're worth me being patient. You're worth me being kind. How do I know you are? Because God loves you. That makes you worth everything. God loves you. No matter how much of a pain in my butt you are, God loves you. And not only do you deserve my patience and kindness, it's demanded of me. Ephesians 4:1-3. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Because honestly, I don't think you can show patience or tolerance without it. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Be diligent. I mean, make it your priority. No matter what else is happening, make sure that bond of peace is there. Colossians 12 through 13. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I love put on. It's already there for you. It's been done for you. God made you the coat. Put it on. You know what I mean? It's there. Patience is proof of love, the love of God in us. Time and familiarity will surely chip away at any patience we pretend to have. This is an absolute truth. The patience we fake for social acceptance. Every one of us can, in a moment or two, feign patience. When deep inside, we're not really patient. You know, well, that's okay. You know, somebody cuts you off. God bless you, when really inside you. And you can do that for a while, but the more you get to know people, the more time you fellowship with them, the more of what is really there is going to show. Marriage is spectacular for this. Marriage will, without a doubt, chip away at all your fake patience and show you what patience you actually have. It will. Families do that, and church fellowship will do that. There's a reason. You need to see what you have or don't have. And if it's lacking, you need to come before the Lord and, you know, bring it to Him and repent. But there is a purpose to it. Whatever fellowship removes wasn't love anyway. Whatever time you spend with someone makes it go away. Cheryl could easily say, I used to be patient with Jeff, but I'm not anymore after all these years. No, it was never there. What was truly patience is still there. The stuff she was pretending to have, and by the way, it hasn't changed at all. I'm just using her as an example. She's probably the last person I should use for an example. But the point is that anything that isn't real, when the wind blows, will blow away. And the more time you spend with someone, the more the wind blows. And it's one of the reasons we are told to fellowship. It's one of the reasons He said it is not good that you are alone. You need to see it. It's a truth you need to know, and it needs to be dealt with. The patience you have in private, in your heart, is the measure of your love. Fellowship will expose the truth of your love. Love is the difference between acting patient and being patient. Acting patient will always fall apart. We act patient to fool others. We are patient because we love others. And that's the difference. And the reason you want to fool others is because you're insecure and or because you're not kind and you don't have love anyway. Kindness. Kindness is defined as of a sympathetic or helpful nature. In other words, you look at someone and you want to do something for them. You see a need and you desire to help them. A forbearing nature, gentleness. So not only do you see a need, you see a problem and you react the same way. It's so much linked with patience that, you know, it's hard to separate it. Arising from or characterized by a sympathy or a forbearance. I love the word empathy. Because empathy is very powerful because we all love ourselves. So if we can associate, God doesn't even pretend that's not true. What does He say? Love others as you love yourself. There's no argument. You know, He makes the assumption that you love yourself. And it's the ability to feel that for somebody else. When it happens to them, you put yourself there and say, how would I feel? Man, I don't want them to feel like that. Because I would feel like that. Life teaches you to do that or not to do that. There are times in life where empathy can get you in trouble. It can cause you hardship. God doesn't make any exceptions. He doesn't care if it causes you hardship or if it breaks your heart or if somebody takes advantage of you. The point is this. You do what's right to do. And if you learn a lesson from it, learn it. And next time, do it wiser, you know. But sometimes life has been very harsh on people, and the empathy has been beat out of them. God, the love of God will put it right back in you. because there is nothing that feels better, that feels more in tune with God than helping somebody, than meeting a need that needs to be met. No matter what it is, it doesn't have to be anything grand. You know, you just, God used me. You know, that whole feeling of my purpose and my meaning in life. Do not grieve the Holy, Ephesians 4:30 through 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Allow it to leave. All bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Boy, he covered them. I can't think of anything he didn't get. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as, here it is again, God in Christ also forgave you. The standard is very high. Just like he said, be holy as I am holy, he is saying to you, forgive as I forgive. Well, we need help with that. And it's the Spirit of God that allows us to do that. And how do you get the Spirit of God to do that? First, you notice that you're not doing it. And you repent. And you ask God for help. Lord, I need your Spirit to help me to do this. My spirit wants to. My flesh doesn't help me. You know, and he will. That's part of letting it go, is turning it over to God. Let it be gone. In other words, the power to do it is already there. You just have to let it happen. And what stops you from letting it happen? Wanting it to happen. And how does that change? You see that it needs to change. How do you change what you want? You learn some truth about yourself or even about other people. And then when your desire changes, that's when you start to let it go. When what you really want here, instead of letting somebody feel my wrath, or instead of letting them know how much they hurt me, or instead of letting them know how wrong they were, I just want them to be at peace. What I want out of this situation is for them to be at peace. And that's how you let it go. And even that God brings about. That's part of sanctification. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. What grows from the tree of the Spirit of God that is dwells inside of you? What's the what did Christ say? It is the fruit is the proof of the tree. You know what kind of tree it is by what grows on it. An apple tree grows apples. So if you see an apple, you say to yourself, that's most likely an apple tree. So if you see someone whose life is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, then you know that's a Christian tree. The Spirit of God is in there, and that's the fruit it's producing. And it says, against such things there is no law. If you are doing these things, the law, it becomes incidental, because everything you do will be for these reasons. And what did Christ say? If you love your neighbors, you love yourself. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, there is no law you can break. I'll just finish this up. Romans 2:4, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's like the final dig here on patience and kindness. Do you take lightly God's patience and kindness? Don't you understand what he has done for you? Have you not grasped the depth of what you have been offered, of what his patience and his kindness have done for you? They have taken you from an eternity of damnation into an eternity of glory. And are you taking that lightly, that you won't give it to someone else? You know, he did all that just to bring you to repentance. It is patience and kindness that allows you to learn from your mistakes to the point where your heart is ready to say to yourself, man, I'm a horrible person. There is stuff really wrong with me. And to come before God and say, God, I need your help here. I cannot save myself. Well, what allowed that to transpire? What allowed you to see that, to experience it? And to come to that knowledge was God's patience and God's kindness, because he was not obligated to do any of those things. The first time you sinned, gone, was justifiable. First evil thought, gone, justifiable. It was patience and kindness that allowed us to come to that point. So what I'm saying is, accept that patience and kindness from God. Realize that everything you've ever been forgiven of, you've been forgiven of because you repented, and you repented because God taught it to you to repent. He brought it to your heart. He showed it to you. Please, please, please give other people the same break God gave you. Yes, they may be horribly wrong. Yes, they may have done something ignorant, foul, or whatever. God will deal with them exactly as He dealt with you. Let your love allow that to happen. Don't stifle the love of God with your lack of love. And I'm not saying become a doormat as always. Speak the truth in love, but don't let it become bitterness, anger, all those things I just read, the things that you cannot be. Don't let it turn into that, because you're not showing the fruit from the tree that should be there. And don't take lightly. If you do not take lightly the love of God and the patience of God, you will not take lightly your obligation to show it to other people. Because you have become what? The image of Christ. By my actions. You know, we are a Jesus Christ tree that shows Jesus Christ in the fruit. So if I am not patient and kind with somebody else who needs to come to repentance, I don't just give up on them and say, hey, you're on your own, pal. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Then am I producing the fruit that Jesus Christ produced? Or is that something ugly coming from the flesh? Am I asking them to do something that that I couldn't do without God, without His patience and kindness? I have no right. None of us here have any right whatsoever to not be patient and not be kind with everyone. We are learning to do that. I'm just telling you, that's the goal. I'm not even claiming I'm there. I am by no means doing that. I just know that is how I need to be. And it is how I want to be. And it is how I will be. I'm sure of it. The good work that God began in you, He will finish, is what Scripture says. Well, this is the good work. This is it right here. When it says the good work He began in you, this is it. So that you become patience and kindness. Love. All the rest is just flows once that happens. So, well, it's that time. Any questions, comments, criticisms, anything like that? Let's pray. Lord, we just come before You and we thank You for Your word as always. And Lord, let this find a home in our hearts. Let it just anchor in there and be unmovable. Conform us to Your image, Lord. Conform us to Your love. So that we could be some help to this poor, sad world and not another part of its problem. Watch over my brothers and sisters. Make them strong, wise, brave, and compassionate. And help them to glorify Your name in what they think, what they do, and what they say. In Jesus' name, amen.